Okay, so we are holding at the beginning of Parak Gimel, third chapter of Sefer Shmuel. We left off a Navi, an Ishalotim, had come to Eli and told him that he and his family were up to no good, and he tells him that they're going to be cursed, they're going to live short lives, and they're not going to take positions of authority, his descendants, and that is where Parak Gimel starts. So the end of the Nevuah, and then we have a new event. So Parak Gimel begins, V'hana'ar Shmuel Misharis Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. And the lad Shmuel was serving Hashem in front of Eli. Udvar Hashem haya yakar bayamim ahim. And the word of Hashem was valuable or rare in those days. Ein chazon nifrat. Chazon, visions, were not nifrat, were not broken through. They weren't widespread among the people. Nevuah was at was hard to come by in those days.
So that's the second point, that Chazon.
Yeah.
What about the
What's
word
the difference between Dvar Hashem Yakar?
Is Dvar Hashem also referring to
It
Nevuah?
Seems it is. It seems it is. I'm not sure what the I think the Ein Chazon Nifrat, we'll see and we'll talk about in a moment, is more of a description of something related to that. So just going back to the beginning, so it says Shmuel served Hashem lifnei Eli. We had a similar pasuk earlier in Parak Beis, slightly different. Right at the beginning, actually. The very beginning. Not right at the beginning, actually. Where is it? Do. That's where Parak Beis, Pasuk Yod Aleph.
Very good.
Yeah, very good, thank you. So it says there, Vayelech Elkana HaRamasa HaBeiso V'Hanar HaYamasharis Es Hashem. And the lad was serving Hashem Es Pinei Eli HaKohen, the face in front of Eli HaKohen. Then we had another Pasuk like that, and that was Pasuk Yod Ches. Shmuel Misharis Es Pnei Hashem, and doesn't mention Eli. So the first pasuk was understood. We understood to mean first he was Misharis Es Hashem, serving Hashem Es Pnei Eli, with Eli teaching him. Eli was guiding him. In the second pasuk Yud Ches, Shmuel Misharis Es Pnei Hashem. So at that point he was already a self-starter. He was serving Hashem on his own. He no longer had or needed the guidance, the continual guidance of Eli. And the Mefarshim say that our Pasuk, the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, is now he has surpassed Eli. He's lifnei Eli, he's before him, he's more zariz, he's quicker, he's more zealous, he's more accomplished in serving. Now, it's interesting to compare them, because Eli was the Kohen Gadol, and Shmuel was just a Levi, but I guess each in their own, what they were doing, their jobs in the Mishkan, Shmuel was now, surpassed Eli in his rizus, in his zealousness, and in his avodas Hashem in general. Udvar Hashem haya yakar b'yom rahim. Right? So he said, the word of Hashem was hard to come by, and the description it gives is Ein Chazon Nifrat. Visions were not Nifrat, which is, means like, Torah means to like poke through, not to pierce. They haven't pierced the wall. That seems to be the description. So what does that mean? So the Malbim has a very interesting discussion here about Nevuah. But really, even before that, the Malbim says that we now have a number of psukim here, which are going to tell us why Shmuel was chosen to be the next Navi. And why he got the Nevuah now, he's about to experience the Nevuah, why he gets it now. And he said, Malbim says there are six reasons. The first reason, he says, is his own merit, because he was Mishari Ses Hashem. He was constantly serving Hashem, and even he was hired, as we said, he was Lifnei Eli, he was in front of Eli, he was above Eli in that. Secondly, that there was, like we said, Nevuah was at a premium. It was rare. It was hard to come by. Why would that be? Because the people weren't worthy. There weren't so many worthy people at the time. So not to say that we're not trying to take away from Shmuel, but that's part of what sets up the situation for Shmuel to be the Navi, was because there weren't really other people who were fit to be Nevi'im at that time. That's why Nevuah was so rare.
Well, that's why I was thinking there that maybe the word was referring to just as like general lack of
Torah.
Yeah,
I think it could. But then, as a description, he says, Ein Chazon Nifrat. So he gives an interesting, the visions, Nevuah hadn't broken through the wall. Implying that once it would break through the wall, though, it could become more widespread. So he says that there's a nature in the world that the Shefa, the overflow, the Bracha from Hashem flows into the world. And it flows to those who are ready for it, who are fit for it. And at that point, there wasn't anyone fit. So he says it's like a river that's been dammed up. It's right. There's all this shefa, all this bracha, all this divine inspiration waiting to descend into the world, and there's nobody to receive it. There's no proper kli, no vessel to accept the nevuah.
This is like similar to the concept that nowadays I've read many times that Hashem is constantly sending us messages, but you have to be like open and looking for them.
I'm not sure, because here we're talking about Nevuah, we're talking about something higher than that. I'm not sure.
But I think that's general in Hashkacha
practice. You understand Hashem, you know, has a personal relationship with everyone and would, could send messages to everyone. But I think this is...
Of course, the way I understand it is that at one point, it was keeping a little journal there. He does. You just have to look.
Okay.
Go about your day, and not think about, you know, why did that, why that.
Right. Okay. But he says, but like a river, that if it finds a little pathway through, so then it can... You know, it can flow through and maybe even expand and then reach everything that's beyond that dam. Once it breaches, it can spread out and irrigate fields and spread all over. So the same way, once it found a breach in Shmuel where the Nevuah could enter the world, so after that it did spread. Again, and that, if you jump ahead to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, so it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the last Pasuk in the chapter, Vayosef Hashem leheiro v'shilo, and Hashem continued to reveal himself in Shiloh, Kinibua Hashem al Shmuel b'Shilo b'Dvar Hashem. For he had revealed himself to Shmuel and Shilo with the word of Hashem. And the Malbim is learning this pasuk. I think other Mepharshim also learn it, that this means he continued to reveal himself to others in Shilo. That once he was, because he had revealed himself to Shmuel, so that opened the pathway now for others to receive Nevuah once there was, sort of this breach, this pirza, with which the Nevuah could enter. That's what it means here, Ein Chazon Nifrat. There wasn't a piercing, a breach for vision to enter, but once there will be through Shmuel, then Nevuah will spread a little bit more. Vayihi bayomahu, classic thing, and it was on that day. The Eli shochiv b'mekom one. Eli was lying in his place. The einav hechelu kehos, and his eyes were beginning to darken. Lo yuchal liros, he wasn't able to see. So it was on that day. Which day? So the some of Farshim say was that same day as the Navi had come to him to tell him about his sons and the previous parak. That same day, Eli shochev and komo, Eli was lying in his place. And on a pasha level, it means he was sleeping, wherever the Kohen Gadol slept. On a deeper level, though, the Malbim says that what's going on here is it was on that day, the same day again he learns that that Isha Elokim, that Navi had come, and Hashem, again, is going to send a Nevuah to Shmuel, and the Nevuah is going to be kind of similar to the previous Nevuah that the other Navi, who the Chazal said was Elkanah, received. So it's going to be back-to-back sort of the same Nevuah. So the Malbim says Hashem wanted to show that this was imminent, and therefore, if it's repeated, he says, that shows that this is about to occur, about to come true. And the Malbim learns, Eli shochev b'mekomo, Eli was sleeping in his place. What it means was, it's talking about where his mind was. That's his... He wasn't thinking about the Heichal and the Aron, the Mishkan and the Aron, as opposed to we're going to see in the next pasuk that Shmuel was shochei b'heichal Hashem, that Shmuel was sleeping in the Mishkan, which the Malbim is going to say doesn't mean that he was actually sleeping in the Mishkan, but it's talking about what was on his mind. When he went to sleep, was he thinking about the Mishkan, or was he thinking about lofty things, serving Hashem, or was he thinking about other things? Eli was shochev b'mekomo. Eli was thinking about his own thoughts, about his own needs.
Do you have any idea how old Shmuel was at this point?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And the Malbim says, and it was just then he began to weaken, as he weakened, I guess, spiritually, he began to weaken physically. His eyes began to darken, and some learn also that that refers to, I believe there are those who learn, that that refers to his eyes of Nevuah. Eli was a Navi, but now his seeing eye, his ability to prophesize was also closing. So Yuchal Liros, he was no longer able to see. B'ner Elokim Terem Yichta. And before the Ner of Hashem had gone out, Ushmuel Shochev, and Shmuel was sleeping, Beheichal Hashem, in the Heichal of Hashem, in the Mishkan, Asher Sham Aron Elokim, that there was the Aron. Oh, so Jared wants to know, isn't that inappropriate? So, absolutely. So the Gemara says, Shmuel was sleeping in the Heichal Hashem. Shmuel was sleeping in the Mishkan. They're the only person who's even allowed to sit in the Azara, even. The Azara is the courtyard, is the king. From the lineage of David. Malchus based David. Ein Shiva Ba'azara Ela L'malchus Beis David. The only people are allowed to lie in the, or maybe in Yeshiva, even to sit in the Azara, in the courtyard, even in the courtyard of the Mishkan, or of the Beis HaMikdash, is a king from the lineage of David. So how could Shmuel be sitting sleeping in the Mishkan? So the Gemara actually says, and if you look at the Trop carefully, that this pasuk is sort of split. That the Heichal Hashem is going back on the Neiros. That the Neiros, the lights of the menorah, were still lit. And that's how the Trop falls. The Neiro Elokim Terem Yichbeh Ushmuel Shochis. That's the Asnacha. Stops. Shmuel was lying. The Heichal Hashem now is going back on the Neiros. It's going back on the menorah. But the menorah was still burning. Asher Sham Aron Elokim. There in the Heichal, wasn't in the same room, but was also in the Heichal, in the Mishkan, was the Aron as well. Now, the Malbim does, as we pointed out, he does try to also explain what maybe the Pasuk is hinting to by saying it in this manner. Ushmul Shochev, where, sounds like the Heichal Hashem, like he was actually sleeping in the Heichal Hashem. So he mentioned that the Malbim's shot was, and it's not talking about his location of sleep, but rather his mindset when he went to sleep. That Shmuel, he was right, Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. We say and said this morning in Ladavi, right? That Shmuel was shochev v'eichal Hashem. When he went to sleep, where were his thoughts? His thoughts were v'eichal Hashem. His thoughts were on the Mishkan. His thoughts were on the Avoda and how to be the greatest servant of Hashem. How does a person go to sleep? What's on their mind? They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their avodas Hashem. To be honest, when I go to sleep, I don't think about anything. Baruch Hashem, usually fall asleep within moments of my head hitting the pillow. So, that's usually after having fallen asleep like once or twice, you know, at my work or at the table or so, at my desk. So
you should do it before you, when you go to sleep, instead of thinking of this or that, you should do a guess in
that. Yeah, which I guess counts. Actually, my wife was a little annoyed with me Friday night because I went to a Shalom Zachar and then I came back and I made the mistake of sitting down on the couch to learn. It's always a mistake. And I wanted to look something up. I had like a big Shulchan Aruch on my lap. And I fell asleep. And at midnight, my wife woke up and I wasn't there. I wasn't in the room. So she came out to look and I was sleeping on the couch. And she didn't wake me up. And then I woke up at like 1. And the next morning she was not happy with me that I wasn't there when she freaked out at midnight when because I had gone out.
I think he went to Tikkun.
Yeah, but I guess I fell asleep with thoughts of the Shulchan Aruch in my mind. Fine. So now there is a chazal on this pasuk, the Ner Elokim Terem Yichbeh Shmuel Shochev, that learns that it also hints to the idea that the way it says it, it talks about a number of situations where one tzaddik, just before he died, another tzaddik was born. And it quotes the pasuk, "Dizarach Hashemesh Shabbat Hashemesh," that the sun rose and then the sun set. That first, I think, I forget what it says about certain Amorayim and certain Tanayim, but then it says the same thing over here, that Ad Shavu Kavsa Nero shall Eli, before the light of Eli went completely out, then the light of Shmuel was lit. So that's also hinted to. We have the eyes of Eli darkening, the nevuah of Eli coming to an end. His ability to prophesy is coming to an end, and at the same time though, Shmuel is just he's just beginning his period of nevuah. There was a red duck. So Radak says here that, and I think he, yes, the Radak says, if it's referring to the menorah, which there are those who are learning it, right, I mean, Pashuk Pshat, that's the simple understanding, that it's referring to the menorah. So what it's telling you is the time. Like it was right before Avos HaShachar, it was before morning, right, because the lights of the menorah would burn from evening until morning. Sometimes they would go out, but they were meant to burn the whole night. The Ner Ma'aravi, the western light, which was, I think, in the middle, actually, but it was just sticking out a bit to the west, so that burned all the time. And it's telling us the time that the Nevuah came to Shmuel, it came right at the end of the night, right before morning. So what is the significance of the menorah, or of the time? So, Mishnah Zav offers a pshat. He says that, first of all, you could say that, that the menorah, right? The menorah represents chachma, represents Torah, and it's only when you have that in the Beis Hamikdash can you have nevuah. And right, the Gemara says that that miyom shachar Beis Hamikdash, it says nitzla nevuah mi'an nevim. From the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there was no longer nevuah. So there's the Beis Hamikdash is the source for nevuah, and it is also right, and in a way that may stem even from the menorah itself, which is the source of chachma, of wisdom. He mentions, though, an interesting Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, yeah.
So if the temple is destroyed and that puts an end to nevuah,
so how could there be nevi'im
after the first temple, like Ezra and Nehemiah?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Is it possible that they lived during the time of the Beis Hamikdash? I know that Mordechai, who was also a Navi, was still alive during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. I'm pretty sure, at least. So I wonder if
that would put them at very old.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, the Beis Hamikdash, the exile was 70 years. So
70 years.
So they could have been. When are you talking about? Which Nevuah? Before the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt or after?
Before.
So they could be anywhere under 70 still. If they were alive. Meaning if they were young, they were children at the time, at the end of the Beis Hamikdash.
Right, but then they would never have experienced the first one.
Oh, right, So I'm assuming that maybe you don't have to experience the first Nevuah during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, just to have maybe been around during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. It could also be right. It could be the Gemara means in general, maybe with exceptions. But
maybe they're just talking about the second, because it didn't have a lot of the things that the first one did.
Correct.
Right, it didn't have the
The Aron.
Right, it didn't have the Aron. It didn't have the Luchot HaBrit.
Fine. So he points out, though, that there's an Ibn Ezra at the beginning of Parshas Va'alotcha. So the end of Parshas Naso talks about Moshe receiving the Nevuah on the Olam Moed. It says, U'bivo Moshe al Olam Moed. This is the very last pasuk in Parshas Naso. It says, when Moshe will come to the Olam Moed, Vaishmas Akomi Dabere Rav Me'al HaKaporet. He would hear the voice speaking from him from upon the Kaporet on the Aron. And then the first pasuk of Parshas Be'alotcha talks about the menorah. It says, Be'alotcha Taneiros Amu Apnei HaMenorah Ya'ir Shemas Neiros. It's the instruction for how to light the menorah. So the Ibn Ezra says that these two things are connected to teach you that it's possible to get a nevuah also at night. Because the light would be lit, the neighbors of the menorah would be lit and not out. It sounds like the Ibn Ezra saying this kind of idea that the menorah was at least in order to receive nevuah at night, was necessary in order to receive a nevuah at night. That's what Ibn Ezra says over there.
Maybe I think it. I always assume that both the Buddha came at night, but it seems to be quiet.
So Moshe Rabbeinu received most of his nevuah during the day. In fact, they bring in the footnote here. Right.
Moshe,
They bring in the footnote here that the Ramban asks on that Ibn Ezra that there's a Chazal that says that Moshe received all his nevuahs in the daytime. So what's Ibn Ezra talking about? That now he could get a dibur at night because the menorah is lit. He didn't get.
Okay,
he always got his nevuah by day.
That's that Moshe was an exception to all the other, right? It says in a number of places, right?
What, that?
That Moshe was
an exception. So I don't know if it's that they were receiving the Vua at night or that they were receiving the Vua when they were sleeping.
When you're sleeping, is it?
No, because I think that in Navi, if you look at the way the farm describe it, they would go into a trance sort of to receive a nevuah. But it wasn't necessarily that they went to sleep at night and got a nevuah. When we say that they weren't awake, it means they weren't awake. They weren't present. They were in a trance of some sort. But I don't think necessarily it was like that. They lay down on their bed and then had a nevuah. So it could be that in general, Nevi'im did not receive Nevuah at night. I'm not sure.
Yaakov
had a vision at night.
Yeah. He didn't have a light.
Right.
That's
true.
Light.
Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikra Hashem al Shmuel vayomer hineini. And Hashem cried out to Shmuel, and he, Shmuel, responded, Hineini, I'm here. But did he know that it was Hashem calling him? No, he did not. Pasuk Hey, Vayarat El Eli. And he ran to Eli. He thought it was Eli calling him. Vayomer Hineini, Kikar Asali, here I am, you called me. You woke me up, you needed me, here I am. Vayomer Lo Karasi Shuv Shchav. And he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Vayelech vayishkav. And he went, and he lay down again. Shmuel went back to sleep. Vayosef Hashem kro od Shmuel. And Hashem continued to call out to him, Shmuel. And again, Shmuel is startled. Vayakom Shmuel, and Shmuel got up. Vayelech al Eli. And he went to Eli. Vayomer, and he said, Hineni. Kikarasali, here I am. You called me. Vayomer, and he said, Eli said to him, Lo karasi v'ni, shuv shechav, I didn't call you, my son, go back to sleep.
Here he says, I don't know what Amlo is, saying that Hashem was calling to him in Eli's voice.
In Eli's voice? Interesting. Okay, that will fit into something maybe that we're gonna say. So the Malbim says that he points out just a couple of diukim. Let's do two more pesukim. Pasuk Zayin. Shmuel terem yada es Hashem, and Shmuel, before he had known Hashem, before he had this close connection, v'terem yigala elo dvar Hashem, and before the word of Hashem had been revealed to him. I'm not sure what the difference between those two things are. The Mishnah David says yada means he still didn't know chachmas elokus, the wisdom of God. I don't know what that is. You know, I don't know it either, so I can't tell and explain what that is really. And Terem Yigla, and he hadn't, Hashem hadn't revealed himself to him before. Right? It sounds like there's knowledge of like how Nevuah works, and then there's actual Nevuah. So he didn't know Hashem, he didn't know this Chachma of Nevuah, and he also hadn't had a Nevuah yet, so he didn't figure out what was going on.
That's theoretical and practical.
Yes. Vayosef Hashem kiro Shmuel bashlishis, and Hashem continued to call Shmuel a third time. Vayakam, and again Shmuel got up. Vayelach al Eli, and he went to Eli. Vayomer hineni ki karasali, and he said, here I am, because you called me. Vayaven Eli ki Hashem kare lanar, and this time Eli understood that it was Hashem calling to the lad. Vayomer Eli li Shmuel, and Eli said to Shmuel, Leich shechav, go lie down. Vaya im yikra elecha, and it will be if he'll call to you again. Ve'amarta, daber Hashem, and you should say, speak Hashem, ki shomei avdecha, for your servant is listening. That's when you should respond. Speak Hashem, for your servant is listening. Vayelech Shmuel, vayishkar b'mekomo, and Shmuel went, and he lay in his place. So. The Malbim says that, so at first he thought it was Eli. So he hurried, right, in Pasuk Hey, by Yarat, he ran to Eli, it's a good servant, a good student, he ran to see what he needed, and Eli at first thought that it was just Shmuel's imagination. He was imagining things, that someone was calling to him. So he said, go back to sleep. The second time, so this time, first of all, Shmuel does not answer right away, Hineni, right? In Pasuk, in the first time around, in Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet, it says, and Hashem called to Shmuel by Yomer Hineni. And immediately, Shmuel responds, here I am. The second time, in Pasuk Vav, it doesn't say that Shmuel responded Hineni. So the Malbim says just because he was already awake. Not sure why that would answer that question. He was already awake. I guess maybe it was like our startlement. He said, Hineni, I'm here. And then he realized, you know, that there was nobody to talk to there, that Eli was calling him from afar. Maybe that's what he means. This time Shmuel does not run. He goes to Eli. And that's because he was embarrassed from the first time, the Malbim says. And he adds, that at this point Eli was already suspicious that maybe Shmuel was getting a Nevuah, already on the second time. And that's why he drew him close, and he said, "Vayomer lo karasi b'ni, my son." You know, I didn't call to you. He said, "My son." The first time around, he didn't say, "My son." What was he trying to accomplish? The Malbim says it was derech ahava. It was out of love. He didn't want him to be sad, because if he was sad, he wouldn't be able to receive nevuah. You know, Ein Ashtina Shora Ela Mitoch Simcha. The Yerushalmi, I think, says that the Shtina only comes out of Simcha. Right? They say that at the Yom, we're coming up to Sukkot. They say the Simcha Spesa Shoeva there was like nevuah, like flying around, because it was such a situation of simcha that there was just so much Ruach HaKodesh there, because there was so much simcha there. In a place of simcha, you have Ruach HaKodesh, you have, of course, it has to be real simcha. Simcha shal mitzvah, the simcha of a mitzvah, not just partying.
Flying around like the cover of the Orachayim English.
I don't know what's on the cover.
Hebrew letter is like.
Yeah, just like that.
What about Yirmiyahu? Wasn't he on this? Just like perpetually, like sad, depressed, nutty?
I'm not sure. I haven't learned it well. So I know his nevuahs were about the destruction, but
I think that's what it is.
But I don't know about himself. I'm not sure what his own. So that's why Eli wanted to comfort him, because he wanted to make sure that he wasn't sure yet that Shmuel was receiving a Navi, but he wanted to make sure that he could be a vessel to receive it now. So he wanted to keep him happy. So so then in Pasuk Zayin we explained why Shmuel was not aware of what was going on. I think he had not experienced Nevuah before. He wasn't well versed in these types of things. And on the third time, that's when the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Ches, Vayaveng Eli Ki Hashem Kori Lanar. At this point, he was certain that it was Hashem calling to him, because at this point, he says the imagination wouldn't happen three times in a row that you think someone's calling you. It must have been a chazaka. I mean, it could be a chazaka that he has, that he hears voices. But you said you don't hear voices, in your imagination three times in a row. It must have been a nevuah. So he says, next time you hear it, you should respond, "Speak, Hashem, for your servant is listening." Okay, pasuk. Yod. Vayavo Hashem vayisyatav. And Hashem came and he stood there, whatever that means. The Radak says that it means that the Navi sees a vision. They see something. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what they see, but when it says that Hashem stood, it means that there was something that they could see. And what happened? Vayikra kifam b'fam, and he called as he did each time, Shmuel, Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel, daber, and Shmuel said, "Speak, ki shomei avdecha, for your servant is listening." So you'll notice he didn't say, "Daber Hashem," like Eli had told him to. Eli said, when you hear the voice, say, "Speak, Hashem." Shmuel did not say that. He just said, "Daber." Parshim said he wasn't sure. He still wasn't sure about it. Maybe he was out of humility. He didn't think that he could receive a nevuah. So he said, just "Daber," speak, without saying, "Daber, Hashem." The Malbim, on this word, Vayisyatav, says a little bit more than the Radak. The Radak said it means that he's had some kind of vision. The Malbim has an interesting idea here. He says that there's two words, right, for standing. There's Omed and this word, Vayisyatav, to stand. They both mean stand. So, and they're used for to describe physical standing. That's what it says, I think, by Bilam. They quote that pasuk in over here. There's also Hine Hashem Tzavolov, I think. Yeah. So you find this used also for either malachim or for nevuah, but it's really a physical word also. For people. So what's the difference? between Omed, the word for standing, Omed, and the word for standing, Yisyatav. What's the difference? So, the Malbim says that Yisyatav is when you need to add strength in order to remain in one place. Omed is just normal standing. Yisyatav means like you're like putting in effort to remain where you are standing. Maybe if there was like an earthquake, you know, and you have
a
hurricane, it's windy, that's when you need to be standing. A crowd of people, whatever it is, that's where that applies. So he says that over here we're using this word to describe nevuah, that the Hashem, the nevuah, was yisyatav, that when a person receives a navi, a nevuah, when Shmuel received this nevuah, because of the, you know, the distance between a physical person and the spiritual, so he had to like grab onto it, or the nevuah itself had to stick to him. It took it doesn't just stand there, right? You have to stay tuned in and hold on tight in order for the nevuah to remain. And that's why it uses this word, that it was standing there. He adds, why does it say Shmuel twice? So he says, he's explained elsewhere, by Avram, and by Moshe, that it's in order to awaken the two port parts of a person, the Ruchni and the Gashmi, that both the physical and the spiritual should be ready to receive a nevuah. That's why he called to him twice, Shmuel. I'm not sure why he didn't call to him twice before. Maybe we'll offer an answer to that, right? Why all of us only this time, right? The Malbim saying the reason why he says Shmuel twice is because he's calling to both aspects of him, both his physical and his spiritual, that they should both be ready to receive the nevuah. Why didn't he say Shmuel the previous time? So this will fit back into what you said from Ne'am Lo, is that there are those who say that when Hashem called him the first time, it was in the voice of Eli. Now, why would he do that? Why would he trick him? So it seems from all this, and that somebody says it, I don't remember who, that maybe the Malbim, that Hashem wanted Shmuel to go to Eli. He wanted Eli to know that Shmuel was having a nevuah. Why? The reason is because what we're going to see is that the nevuah is going to be about Eli, and Eli is basically going to demand from Shmuel that he tell him what the nevuah was. So we'll talk about that later, but in order for that to play out, Eli had to know that Shmuel had a nevuah. So it seems that the whole first three occurrences, it wasn't meant for Shmuel to actually receive the nevuah yet. It was just meant to get him to go to Eli, to basically tell him that he was to hint to Eli that Shmuel was going to receive the nevuah. So perhaps that will explain the Me'am Lo'ez, why it sounded in Eli's voice, why the nevuah came in Eli's voice, the call. It also explained why the first time he just said Shmuel, not Shmuel, because he wasn't really about to receive the nevuah yet. It's only now, when he's ready to receive the nevuah, he says Shmuel twice, because he's calling to both the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. And we're going to hold there. Next time we'll see what the nevuah was that Shmuel received.